Good morning. This is a beautiful autumn day in spite of what our calendars might say. It's also a three-day weekend. And the harvest. Busy times, leisure times. Let us focus ourselves on the God who creates, the God who redeems, and the God who sanctifies us. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secret, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. 824. Thank you. The Lord be with you.
Let
us pray together the prayer of the day. O God, our strength, without you we are weak and wayward creatures. Protect us from all dangers that attack us from the outside, and cleanse us from all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be preserved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the lessons. Our first lesson this morning is a reading from the book of Deuteronomy. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God, with which urging you. You must observe them and perform them, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Well, surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning is number 15, Psalm 15. We will read responsively. The congregation reads the bold print. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right,
and speak the truth from their hearts,
who do not slander with their tongue,
and do no evil to their friends, nor heap shame on their
neighbors, in whose eyes the wicked are despised, who do not lend money at interest,
and do not take bribe against
sinners. Those who do this shall never be moved. Our second reading is a reading from the letter of James. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave birth to us by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For human anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers, who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled for God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
And the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe: the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live a tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. And now may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, the religious scene in the time of Jesus was no less confused than in our own time. There was the civil religion of the and the nature religions of the country folk. The country folk lived in what we call the pagus. That would be mud-covered huts. And those who lived in the pagus are called pagans. There was the traditional mythology. There were the religions of mysteries. And then there was Judaism. the religion of one God. The only religion of one God. Universal one. But among the Jews, the practitioners of Judaism, there were many divisions. There were the Essenes. They lived apart from everybody else in the desert. There were the Sadducees. They supported the temple party in Jerusalem, who were also collaborators with the Roman occupiers. And then there were the Pharisees, who longed for liberation from Rome, but they were also divided into two schools. One, more or less relaxed, of Levitical law, and one more strict in interpretation and practice of the law. Oh, more division surfaced, where some said that the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, was sufficient, with another group insisting that in addition to Torah, the writings and the commentaries subsequent held equal weight, including the wisdom literature, which we read this morning in Psalm 15. Is any of this familiar to Christians? The reality is that many of the disputes that the Jews are recorded as having with Jesus were just carryovers of disputes that they were having among themselves already. And one side or the other was always trying to enlist Jesus, also a Jew, onto the side they were already arguing. Without that background information, these disputes, after dispute, after dispute, as recorded in our four Gospels, can give the impression that the Jews were in a monolithic opposition to Jesus, and that Jesus was one against all the others. And that was not so. When Jesus finds himself embroiled in a dispute with the Jews, every time he speaks, there are other Jews who might well respond with, "Aha, see, we told you." And they'd be on Jesus' side, at least for that issue. To this day, come to Shabbat sometime with me on Friday in Pocatello to Emmanuel. Come anytime. They know me there. And the assembly will tell you, once they see you and know, hey, there's someone new here, they'll tell you every time, Warsaw, Pocatello, Jerusalem. Pleased to meet you. Three Jews, six opinions. It's the tradition. If you don't know that, the Gospels might just send a vibration that just is not there. Not for the writers or for the first audience. Tradition. Those of a certain age remember well the song of that name from Fiddler on the Roof. Tradition. And Jesus does not, in our gospel today, dispute the importance or the necessity of tradition. Tradition gives needed structure to any community, to any family, a faith assembly, a nation, and all of human life. Tradition in itself is good. In Genesis, we read that God brings order and regularity into creation as a safeguard against chaos. And did I learn about tradition and where it comes from and when tradition might not be applicable anymore? Right after I graduated from college, I had my first apartment. Now, what I knew growing up in Ashton, in town,
is that one of the most sacred things that we did in a day, if we'd gone to the store and purchased eggs, we took those eggs, put them in the refrigerator, and we folded out the egg carton and put it under the sink. That's so much as I had ever paid attention to growing up. So when I had my first apartment, I went to the store, I brought home the eggs, I put them carefully into the refrigerator, I unfolded the egg carton and put it into the cabinet under the sink. Month after month after month, finally I had egg cartons everywhere. My folks came to visit, and I took my mom into the kitchen, and I said, "What do we do with these egg cartons?" And she said, "Well, I always save them for your Aunt Darlene." I don't know why the H word. You keep them. Tradition. Traditions very often have a good reason. But those reasons will change and the traditions remain. And no one knows why. We just keep egg cartons under the sink until we need a new house because we're being overrun with egg cartons. I suppose. I don't know. Wasn't that a coincidence? There were two people in that kitchen who had no idea why I was keeping egg cartons. What can I say? Traditions do have a purpose. They're good. But when those reasons for those traditions go away, it's really quite optional if we keep the traditions or not. Some of them are dear to us, and that's a good enough reason to keep them, believe it or not. Jesus is not against tradition. But what was meant to streamline and serve in life can sometimes become instead an encumbrance and a master. This is what Jesus addresses today for reading. Not the existence of traditions per se, but the replacement tradition can often be used for to avoid completely the weightier calling to love and to serve both our God and our neighbor. Jesus blisters the Pharisees this morning, these particular Pharisees in today's reading, not for having and honoring traditions, but for weaponizing tradition or traditions against human beings. Now, anyone who believes Jesus was an anarchist, a political, moral, or otherwise, is misreading, or even worse, misrepresenting Jesus' position. Tradition and boundaries are fine. They're good. But they are never, ever to be used to supersede our loving relationship with God or with each other. Wash your hands. Don't wash your hands. Feed your people. Shoes or out on the porch. Be hospitable to your neighbor. Be kind. Be mindful of others. Extend that goodness to everyone that God has extended to us in Jesus' humbling of himself, by his holy incarnation, by his life of teaching, healing, and feeding, and by his holy, innocent suffering and death on the cross, for us, the undeserving. Let's not be so full of what's right. Fail to see what's good. What is kind? What is loving? Stand not against tradition, but do stand against its expropriation for the purpose of puffing up ourselves and know God's forgiveness when we do, and His spirit of repentance while moving forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us rise as we are able and say together the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Drawn together in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray with confidence for the church, God's good creation, and all who are in need. God of every generation, give the church a sense of purpose and belonging. Sustain and build up leaders and lay people as we accompany one another in our life with Christ. Merciful God, God of creation, you named humans as co-creators with you, where the earth crying bring wholeness. Guide governments and industry that environmental laws and practices seek to heal and not harm. Bring relief and justice to people and places suffering from climate catastrophe. Merciful God, Sovereign God, we pray for local communities of every kind, rural and urban, established and new. Lead those in authority to seek the good of all through their words and actions and to mentor others in honest and generous ways. Merciful, healing God, you draw near to all who are hurting. Be with all who desire relief from chronic and acute illness, cancer, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Strengthen healthcare workers, therapists, and caregivers. Tend to those who are close to our hearts, especially those we lift up to you now in our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Labor Day weekend, we remember and give thanks for all who have fought for workers' rights around the world. Continue to improve working conditions and establish fair wages so that all people may thrive. Merciful God, comforting God, console us as we mourn our departed, especially those we lift up to you now in our hearts. We hold fast to the promise that death has been defeated by our Jesus Christ. Merciful God, we entrust these and all our prayers to you, Holy God, in the name of your beloved child, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year, it is the 15th Sunday of Pentecost. Especially welcome to all of you who are listening here with us today in person, visiting here with us today in person, and to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Dan New, Conley Beebe, Quincy Porath, Debbie Teedy, Ellen Kress, and Cameron Spencer. Happy anniversary this week to Steve and Judy Theobald. Are there any other announcements? Guess what I didn't ask people to help with offering. Deb and Maxine, you want to come do the offering? It will be collected at this time.
Let us rise and let the vineyards be fruitful. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us in what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Thank you. Glory and honor and praise to you, Holy and Living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take this. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine, and again he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all the world for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ, given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. This is the table of Jesus Christ. It is he who invites you to receive him in this sacrament.
let he to restrain you from receiving him today.
Prepared. Come forward.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us rise. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of the gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Our processional hymn out into the world this morning is 810. 810. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.